Yo, thank you for joining me on another episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett. And I want to start with an exciting announcement. We have a new sponsor, a company that's going to be a close partner of the show in perpetuity. I'm talking about Culver City Toyota. Now, I know these guys, and we've been talking for a while trying to put this thing together. And look, when they approached us with the partnership, had to make sure that they were my people, our people. Now, they're huge fans of the show, but most importantly, they're LA nerds like me. They even suggested that we meet at Rafi's in Glendale. Now, you know that's a spot. So we sat, we ate all that delicious food, and we talked for hours. LA culture, people, history, and of course, cars. That's the hub of car culture, after all. And the history of Toyota in Culver City goes back almost 60 years. And that's something, considering Toyota's only been in the U.S. since 1957. And they were one of the first dealers. So anyone in the market for a Toyota, new or pre-owned, Culver City Toyota is your place. They make it easy. You can even lease your Toyota online. And get this, they make it easy to sell your car, too. After submitting your vehicle's information online, you'll get an offer that's good for 7 days. So check out all the Toyotas, new, pre-owned, and thank you, Culver City Toyota, a proud sponsor of In a Minute with Evan Lovett. You're going to be hearing a ton about them from me in the future because I am very proud to have them on board. Now for this episode, we're going Hollywood. Actually, we're going pre-Hollywood. I'm talking about Hollywood before Hollywood. And you've been listening long enough to know I don't love focusing on pop culture and celebrity status, the Beverly Hills Elite, all that. But I made a discovery this week that really made me smile because you know I love origin stories. Well, it turns out that the origin story of Hollywood happened in a place that no longer exists, at least not on maps. So I spent a day tracing the history of how the movies took hold in Los Angeles in what is now the nexus of Silver Lake, Echo Park, Elysian Valley. And what's funny is there's barely a trace of this place that begot what is the biggest industry in LA, the place that made LA the center of the media universe. Talking about Edendale. And by popular demand, I'm also bringing back the one thing to do in LA this week. And this one's a doozy. It's a place that was the movie capital of the world for moviegoers and a place that was also forgotten about for nearly a century, but is in the middle of a renaissance. So strap in, folks. In a Minute is going Hollywood. Well, Hollywood before Hollywood. All right, y'all. Let's get into it. We start with something that happened in LA this week. Now, my wife and I had some work done in our house. So it's that spring break time of year. So we took our son and the dogs on a little staycation. A staycation to Silver Lake. And we've spent time there. We've hung out there, but we've never really explored it. It's a polarizing community. I know some of you are rolling your eyes right now, and some of you are being like, what? I love Silver Lake. And look, we're somewhere in between. We're equal opportunity. You know how we do with this city, but we've never stayed there. And I wanted to like really get into it and explore it. Okay. And honestly, the catalyst was there was a fantastic deal on this gorgeous Airbnb at the top of Edendale Place. And we jumped at the offer. And the thing was, this deal was great because there was construction right next door. And it was loud and it was dirty, but it was such a cool place. And I'm so glad I did it because I was able to find out this history that is, I mean, honestly, I'm getting chills literally just thinking about it. But let me just tell you, okay? I saw the address and I saw Edendale Place. And I was like, why do I know that? Edendale's come up. And the homework showed that Edendale is so significant and needs to be recognized, as are so many things in LA. You know, again, I'll say this over and over. We are the city of the future and oftentimes at the expense of our past. So here, check this out. If you're familiar with this area, that was formerly Edendale, but, you know, now the Silver Lake Echo Park area. It's so L.A. topographically. You got the gentle rolling hills, the nestled valleys, the steep inclines that are now humongous stairwells to get to the top of those hills. But it's like a place that's kind of hidden in this vast Los Angeles basin. It's really cute and cool and so much personality. And that's precisely why Colonel William Selig of Chicago and his associate Francis Boggs established the first Los Angeles movie production studio in Edendale. Now, at the end of the 1890s, Selig was a magician, a minstrel show operator, but he was a tinkerer, and he developed his own photographic equipment. This is when he was living in Chicago, but he was traveling all over the country. So back in Chicago, he entered the film business, far away from Thomas Edison, whom I've talked about, who actually invented moving pictures as well as the light bulb. But Edison would try to, he didn't have any interest in making films and being in the movie business. He just wanted to get licensing fees and royalties from people who were making movies. And if you weren't giving him those fees, he had his team of lawyers that would just attack and get everybody. So Selig was setting up his movies in Chicago, kind of out of the range, at least in short term, of the patent restrictions that were imposed by Edison. So in 1896, he shot his first film, Tramp and the Dog. And then he went on to produce local Chicago slapstick comedies and early travelogues, basically the video blogs of that era. Okay, and this in Chicago, and this the movie industry was not the movie industry. This is like Nickelodeon's. You pay 5 cents to crank a reel, and you like watch it through one eye on this box. It's a totally different time and place. But Selig, as I'd said, toured the country. And he was part of a vaudeville troupe that went to California. And he'd always been attracted by Southern California, specifically the mild, dry climate. You've heard this forever from everybody. It's the truth. And its very geography is what really sparked him. He's like, we could do a lot of on-location stuff and era stuff and different regions. And I mean, again, this is why the movie industry was founded here, but it was William Selig who was the first to act on it, because most importantly, it was as far as you could get from Thomas Edison's legal representatives, who kept trying to impose their patent laws. So Boggs and Selig set up their studio at 1845 Alessandro Street, which, by the way, is now Glendale Boulevard. More on that in a bit. But this is in the heart of Edendale in 1909. And they rented a bungalow, set up a facility, and they quickly expanded. They had success right off the bat. I mean, the time was right. The place was right. The scenery was right. And in typical LA fashion, the studio grew, and he modeled the entrance after the San Gabriel Mission, as so much architecture of that time is. And it was cool. You look at these pictures. This was the first movie studio in Los Angeles. Think about that. And Edendale was a community. It was a new community. And it was subdivided in 1902. Lots were sold for as little as $25, up to $200 for prime acreage. But it was new. It hadn't made any news. It hadn't any stories. It was undeveloped land, except for Selig Polyscope, the movie production studio, which expanded, and grew up to 5 acres at a certain point, and was run in Edendale and was the premier movie studio in this burgeoning industry. So the new studio, Selig Polyscope, was up and running, and they filmed a movie called The Coming of Columbus, the sensation of the moving picture world. At the point, the most expensive, elaborate, and graphic moving picture film ever made. And it took them 3 years to make for the whopping sum of $50,000. But it put Selig Polyscope on the map nationally. And it put Edendale on the map, as that's where they make movies. Selig Polyscope produced The Count of Monte Cristo, a brand new film version of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. These came from Selig Polyscope, and they came from Edendale. This is before Hollywood. And one thing Selig Polyscope loved to do, And it's a different industry. These studios back then would produce a film a week, right? Sometimes short, but they had to keep the money coming in, had to keep people employed. And, you know, they were easier to make, you know, wasn't as nuanced as they are now. They weren't talking pictures yet. So you could just put them out and put out movies quick, rapid succession. And he made dozens of shorts, a lot of them involving wild animals. And what's funny about that is because Selly, this is just a side note, actually established a zoo in East LA to serve as a home for the company's performing animals because there were so many movies about animals. I guess when there wasn't talking, people still love to watch animals. Look at the cat and dog videos on TikTok and stuff. But that was a big thing. And I just thought that was a funny side note that they also had a zoo in East LA. So that's like kind of eccentric in itself and sort of foreshadowing the weirdness that had like eventually would overtake the movie industry. But look at this. The drama was there from the beginning. He set up the studio in Edendale in 1909. But by 1911, they had a gardener that would take care, a landscape artist, if you will, that would take care of the studio and the grounds. And Selig and Boggs, the partner, were both shot by this Japanese gardener. He murdered Boggs and wounded Selig, and there was a huge trial that made all the papers. And the funny thing is, this is year two of Edendale. The motion picture business was already fraught with real life drama. And what did that do? That bolstered film and movies. And now everybody wanted to see more movies and hear about the drama and read about the drama and Selig Polyscope. And then they got Westerns in the mix. Tom Mix, the first true Western star who owned Mixville. These were a big deal because you could shoot in LA everywhere. You know the story. And by 1914, Selig Polyscope was making experimental pictures. They were talking pictures in 1914. That's how significant Selig Polyscope was right there in Edendale. Especially keeping in mind that talkies didn't really take the world by storm till 1927 when the jazz singer literally changed the world of movies. But Selig Polyscope was doing it from Edendale 15 years earlier. And this was the home of movies. Edendale is where Keystone Cops, those silly slapsticky comedies, first plied their trade. This is where Charlie Chaplin was discovered and starred in his first movie. Edendale was the home of the first feature-length comedy, the first pie in the face, the first cliffhanger, and the first multi-part production. This was a big, big deal. And we don't even recognize it anymore. I mean, by 1916, there was a four-block stretch of Alessandro Street where more than 30 movie studios popped up. Bison Studios, Max Sennett's original studio, the first Universal Pictures studio, the first Fox studio. And what's funny, very proto-Hollywood, is all this is developing in Edendale. And while the eyes of the world were laser focused now on Los Angeles because of Edendale, because of these movies, Edendale also became home to a commune. Not just any commune. Again, how like Hollywood adjacent is this? It was a commune founded by members of an anarcho-communist organization that were part of Partido Liberal Mexicano. And now, this was a very influential group. It was led by Ricardo Flores Magón and his wife Maria Talaveras. And they owned 5 acres of land, also 5 acres in Edendale. And along with the industrial workers of the world, they lived on this commune, raising fruit, vegetables, and chickens that they sold in the streets of LA and on Alvera Street. And with the proceeds from the farm, they published this influential publication called Regeneración, a Mexican anarchist newspaper. So I find that notable specifically because this is so LA, so Hollywood that it's going on simultaneously. You got this movies that are breaking all previous indications of what entertainment was, but at the same time, a strong communist organization. And it also foreshadowed the communist scare in Hollywood that happened during the Cold War, which is just another eerie coincidence of Edendale being Hollywood before Hollywood. Now, Edendale's not a big place, and L.A. started growing. And by the 1930s, the studios were moving over the hill to Hollywood, which was at the time a dry Methodist community and considered a better, more wholesome place to make movies. How do you think that worked out, by the way? Are the movies wholesome and better? Well, better maybe, but wholesome. And what happened was, well, again, much like a lot of L.A., the construction of the Glendale Freeway just cut up the neighborhood. Became Silver Lake, Echo Park, Elysian Heights, Elysian Park, Elysian Valley. And the name Edendale slowly disappeared and really isn't known or celebrated or even acknowledged today. A few remnants of the name. The post office is called Edendale Station. There's a public library branch with the name on it. There's an Edendale farm, and there's an Edendale restaurant bar. And there's also Edendale Place, which is where we stayed. And I'm very thankful. But it's even funny because Edendale Place doesn't even have a street sign necessarily. It has a tiny sign on the top of the hill. It's mostly there for the address of the residents there. And so Amazon, mail, and garbage trucks can figure out where they're at when they're on their narrow, steep hill. And the cool thing is, like, many of the structures and sites and areas where the filming, the original days of Hollywood before Hollywood remain. Like, we stayed right next to the Three Stooges stairs. It's where they filmed this famous icebox scene. And we watched it. I watched it with my son, and we loved it. He was cracking up. Larry, Moe, and Curly. But it's like a 5-story stairs, and it's just right there, and it's not acknowledged. It's not marked. But you go and watch that Three Stooges, you're like, holy crap. And like, you see how it's different. It's all bucolic. And it's just really neat knowing that this is so important. And it's just such an LA thing that it's not even recognized and acknowledged. And you know me, I had to go see Selig Polyscope. What's there now, man? 1845 Alessandro. Well, turns out Alessandro actually became Glendale Boulevard. And they named a side street Alessandro. So Alessandro still exists, but it's not the same as it was because the studio was actually on what is now Glendale Boulevard. And this is the first movie studio in Los Angeles. The one that eventually led to Hollywood and all the movies become a multi-billion-dollar industry. Selig Polyscope, it has to be celebrated, right? Where's the plaque? Where's the historical sign? Nah, nothing. You wouldn't even know. You'd probably driven by it. Go to a Dodger game. Take your little side routes. I've driven by it. I know it. You would not know that this was a literal piece of history. The building has been stuccoed over a million times. Looks like a typical just building on Glendale Boulevard. And I had to scope it out. It's a mixed-use workshop and a metal recycling facility in the back. But I knocked on the door and talked to the resident. Okay, I didn't knock. He came out when I was filming and doing it. He's like, hey, can I help you? And he's a nice guy. And I talked to him. I said, hey, man, you know the history of this place? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know what this place used to be? He's like, I've been here for 10 years. This is my workshop. I think it was a pharmacy or a store or something. No, man. This was the first movie production studio in all of Los Angeles. And where you are right now, in this Silver Lake Echo Park, Elysian Park border, this was Selig Polyscope, one of the most important landmarks in the history of Los Angeles. And this is where they founded Hollywood before Hollywood. Edendale, baby. Go check that out. And you know what else you're going to go check out? It's your one thing to do in LA this week. And since we're talking about movies, the original Hollywood, you're going to go check out the original place that movies became glamorous. The place where people celebrated the dawning of the new age in the world. Place where I went twice this week and was smitten each time. I'm talking about the Broadway Theater District downtown. That's right, on Broadway, between about 3rd and 9th. And I've been there before in the past. I've driven through there. Nothing notable. I noted the old signs, but I was like, huh, okay. It's whatever. It used to be a thing. But it's a thing. And you're going to go do it, and you're going to be happy that you did. Let me tell you why I was there first. Doing a project with the Eastern Columbia Building. That's that blue terracotta landmark. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous building with the clock, the one with the huge letters that say Eastern. And it's considered the best representation of Art Deco in all of Los Angeles. And it was also the tallest building in LA when it was built, a monument to the glamour of the Roaring Twenties, but also placed strategically to overlook the Broadway Theater District, which was the movie capital of the world and LA's biggest retail district in the 1910s, 20s, and 30s. This was the modern Broadway. You go see plays and musicals in New York, but LA was back then and always is the city of the future. And movies became the thing to do, the place to see and be seen. And those movies being made in Edendale, well, they were shown on these magnificent movie theaters. Dozens that stretched for blocks along Broadway. There were 12 theaters built in a 20-year stretch that are literally considered movie palaces. And I don't know architecture, but I do know a gorgeous building when I see it. And some are Renaissance, some are Baroque. I don't even have the architecture vocabulary to explain just the unique nature of all these theaters. I know you know what I'm talking about, because more than 100 years later, these buildings still represent the pinnacle of what we now know as Hollywood glamour. I guess you'd say Edendale glamour back then. But listen, you know the names. The Orpheum, the Palace, Tower Theater, Globe Theater, United Artists Theater, the Rialto, the Majestic, the Paramount. This was what people did. You go to see movies, date night, there is no option. This was an event. You dress up. You know how people were dressed in those days. And these were beautiful, highly detailed, ornate theaters that were showpieces for the films of the golden age of motion pictures. And these marquees now, they're all getting rehabilitated and restored to their original glory. And that's why this is your one thing to do in LA this week, because it is, to use a term from one of the theaters, majestic walking down Broadway day or night. And you think I'm kidding about the movie capital of the world. A Broadway theater district had the highest concentration of cinemas in the world. Okay, it had seating capacity for more than 20,000 moviegoers simultaneously. Imagine that, 20,000 people flooding the Broadway Theater District on a Friday night. This was the hub of LA's entertainment scene, a place where, quote unquote, screen goddesses and guys in fedoras rubbed elbows with army nurses and aircraft pioneers. I mean, Broadway was awash in neon. There were movie theaters the likes of which the world had never seen before. Star-studded premieres filled nightly with thousands of moviegoers. Again, the movie capital of the world. The movies from Edendale, right? So what happened? What happened? Because I'll be honest. I've driven down Broadway 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You can just tell it's a bygone era. And it's changed. Well, after World War II, just like the rest of downtown, freeways jettisoned folks out to the suburbs. And the moviegoers shifted to the new movie palaces in Hollywood and Westwood Village and later to the suburban multiplexes that I grew up with. Your Man Nines and stuff like that. And by the 50s, the Broadway movie palaces became venues for Spanish language movies or variety shows or different types of retail. And the area would have collapsed if it weren't for what the LA Times said. Thank you to the Hispanic community. Broadway, which would be dead, is rescued and revitalized by the Latino Renaissance. So like many things in Los Angeles, the Latinos saved the day and kept that Broadway spirit alive. And around the same time, the LA Conservancy started something called the Last Remaining Seats, where they opened these old movie palaces each summer to show classic Hollywood movies. And that was a success. And soon the city of LA invested $40 million to revitalize the Broadway district. And they called it Bringing Back Broadway. And I had no idea, but I could tell you this. It's back. I was there the second time I was there this week. I told you it was two times, one for Eastern Columbia. And the second time, I was at the United Theater on Broadway. This one opened in 1927 with a capacity of 2,200 folks. And this is a good representation of those theaters. Again, the exit signs are like stained glass. That you go in the lobby, it's like a four-story lobby with just this ornate detail. The carpet, the tile. I mean, this is classic stuff. But I was there because my friend Tim Lopez, he's a phenomenal storyteller. He's part of the Moth, which is an organization that spearheads storytelling and partners with KCRW on something called Moth Main Stage. So he led off the show in this glamorous United Artists Theater in all its glory. And let me tell you something. I was transported to this era when the movie was the main event. And this was, it was spectacular. It was just a spectacular night being there. First of all, my boy Tim killed it. But it was just awesome being there. I couldn't stop. You know, I'm enthusiastic. I couldn't stop talking about how awesome it was. And I was excited to give this as your one thing to do because you got to see these theaters. You got to just walk up and down Broadway. Because even when Tim's show was done, walking out on Broadway in the middle of the night, all the marquees are now emblazoned with neon, bright lights, gorgeous facades. It felt like nowhere else in LA. And it still does. It's a place that's very special. I didn't realize it. It holds up. There's so much important history. This was the first run glitz and glamour of Hollywood. Or should I say Edendale, which was the Hollywood before Hollywood. And that is your one thing to do in LA this week. So thank you very much for listening to today's episode. Hollywood before Hollywood. Maybe there'll be an in a minute before in a minute someday. I'm kidding. But if you love history in the context of the now, this was fun. I love learning about this. So if you liked hearing about it, please leave me 5 stars on whatever platform you're using. Apple, Spotify, Overcast, Audible, anything in between. If you loved it, leave a review. It helps a lot. It really does. The latest review on the Apple podcast gets featured along with the show, so you get some shine for a week or so. So please keep on listening and supporting. Don't forget to follow and subscribe so you get notified when each episode drops. And share with a friend. Let's keep on growing. Thank you again. And thank you again to Culver City Toyota for being the new partner and the new sponsor. I'm looking forward to years of a great partnership. So everybody listening, enjoy LA each and every beautiful day. All right, y'all. It's been a minute. Edendale, baby. Go check that out. And you know what else you're going to go check out? It's your one thing to do in LA this week. And since we're talking about movies, the original Hollywood, you're going to go check out the original place that movies became glamorous. The place where people celebrated the dawning of the new age in the world. Place where I went twice this week and was smitten each time. Talking about the Broadway Theater District downtown. That's right, on Broadway between about 3rd and 9th. And I've been there before in the past. I've driven through there, nothing notable. I noted the old signs, but I was like, huh, okay, it's whatever. It used to be a thing. But it's a thing, and you're going to go do it, and you're going to be happy that you did. Let me tell you why I was there first. Doing a project with the Eastern Columbia Building. That's that blue terracotta landmark. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous building with the clock, the one with the huge letters that say Eastern. And it's considered the best representation of Art Deco in all of Los Angeles. And it was also the tallest building in LA when it was built, a monument to the glamour of the Roaring Twenties, but also placed strategically to overlook the Broadway Theater District, which was the movie capital of the world. And LA's biggest retail district in the 1910s, 20s, and 30s. This was the modern Broadway. You go see plays and musicals in New York, but LA was back then and always is the city of the future. And movies became the thing to do, the place to see and be seen. And those movies being made in Edendale, well, they were shown on these magnificent movie theaters. Dozens that stretched for blocks along Broadway. There were 12 theaters built in a 20-year stretch that are literally considered movie palaces. And I don't know architecture, but I do know a gorgeous building when I see it. And some are Renaissance, some are Baroque. I don't even have the architecture vocabulary to explain just the unique nature of all these theaters. I know you know what I'm talking about, because more than 100 years later, these buildings still represent the pinnacle of what we now know as Hollywood glamour. I guess you'd say Edendale glamour back then. But listen, you know the names. The Orpheum, The Palace, Tower Theater, Globe Theater, United Artists Theater, The Rialto, The Majestic, The Paramount. This was what people did. You go to see movies, date night. There is no option. This was an event. You dress up. You know how people were dressed in those days. And these were beautiful, highly detailed, ornate theaters that were showpieces for the films of the golden age of motion pictures. And these marquees now, they're all getting rehabilitated and restored to their original glory. And that's why this is your one thing to do in LA this week, because it is, to use a term from one of the theaters, majestic walking down Broadway, day or night. And you think I'm kidding about the movie capital of the world. A Broadway theater district had the highest concentration of cinemas in the world. Okay? It had seating capacity for more than 20,000 moviegoers simultaneously. Imagine that. 20,000 people flooding the Broadway theater district on a Friday night. This was the hub of LA's entertainment scene, a place where, quote unquote, screen goddesses and guys in fedoras rubbed elbows with army nurses and aircraft pioneers. I mean, Broadway was awash in neon. There were movie theaters the likes of which the world had never seen before. Star-studded premieres filled nightly with thousands of moviegoers. Again, the movie capital of the world. The movies from Edendale, right? So what happened? What happened? Because I'll be honest. I've driven down Broadway 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You can just tell it's a bygone era. And it's changed. Well, after World War II, just like the rest of downtown, freeways jettisoned folks out to the suburbs. And the moviegoers shifted to the new movie palaces in Hollywood and Westwood Village, and later to the suburban multiplexes that I grew up with, your Man Nines and stuff like that. And by the 50s, the Broadway movie palaces became venues for Spanish language movies or variety shows or different types of retail. And the area would have collapsed if it weren't for what the LA Times said. Thank you to the Hispanic community. Broadway, which would be dead, is rescued and revitalized by the Latino Renaissance. So like many things in Los Angeles, the Latinos saved the day and kept that Broadway spirit alive. And around the same time, the LA Conservancy started something called the Last Remaining Seats, where they opened these old movie palaces each summer to show classic Hollywood movies. And that was a success. And soon the city of LA invested $40 million to revitalize the Broadway district. And they called it Bringing Back Broadway. And I had no idea, but I could tell you this. It's back. I was there the second time I was there this week. I told you it was two times, one for Eastern Columbia. And the second time, I was at the United Theater on Broadway. This one opened in 1927 with a capacity of 2,200 folks. And this is a good representation of those theaters. Again, the exit signs are like stained glass. That you go in the lobby, it's like a four-story lobby with just this ornate detail. The carpet, the tile. I mean, this is classic stuff. But I was there because my friend Tim Lopez, he's a phenomenal storyteller. He's part of The Moth, which is an organization that spearheads storytelling and partners with KCRW on something called Moth Main Stage. So he led off the show in this glamorous United Artists Theater in all its glory. And let me tell you something. I was transported to this era when the movie was the main event. And this was, it was spectacular. It was just a spectacular night being there. First of all, my boy Tim killed it. But it was just awesome being there. I couldn't stop. You know, I'm enthusiastic. I couldn't stop talking about how awesome it was. And I was excited to give this as your one thing to do, because you got to see these theaters. You got to just walk up and down Broadway. Because even when Tim's show was done, walking out on Broadway in the middle of the night, all the marquees are now emblazoned with neon, bright lights, gorgeous facades. It felt like nowhere else in LA. And it still does. It's a place that's very special. And I didn't realize it. It holds up. There's so much important history. This was the first run glitz and glamour of Hollywood. Or should I say Edendale, which was the Hollywood before Hollywood. And that is your one thing to do in LA this week. So thank you very much for listening to today's episode. Hollywood before Hollywood. Maybe there'll be an in a minute before in a minute someday. I'm kidding. But if you love history in the context of the now, this is fun. I love learning about this. So if you liked hearing about it, please leave me 5 stars on whatever platform you're using. Apple, Spotify, Overcast, Audible, anything in between. If you loved it, leave a review. It helps a lot. It really does. The latest review on the Apple podcast gets featured along with the show, so you get some shine for a week or so. So please keep on listening and supporting. Don't forget to follow and subscribe so you get notified when each episode drops. And share with a friend. Let's keep on growing. Thank you again. And thank you again to Culver City Toyota for being the new partner and the new sponsor. I'm looking forward to years of a great partnership. So everybody listening, enjoy LA each and every beautiful day. All right, y'all. It's been a minute.